Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and it's exciting times now in the stock market and bond market with the Dow and S&P down over 3% on October 10th, 2018, and it looks like the rout is going to continue on October 11th, given the futures are down about 350 points on the Dow. So the reason why the stock market is falling apart is because the 10-year bond yield has surged higher. We're at about 3.23%. And that is a pretty big uptick from just 2 years ago when we were at about 1.5%, and just a month ago when we were below 3%. I thought that the 10-year bond yield would be capped at around 3% to 3.1%, and I'm wrong so far, and this has caused a lot of people to start panicking that the cost of borrowing and the rate and the pace of borrowing will slow down, thereby hurting corporate profits and thereby hurting stock valuations and stocks in general. So I came across this really interesting research report written by Savita Subramanian, head of U.S. equity and quant strategy at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. And she believes the 10-year bond yield has to reach 4.5% to 5% before U.S. equities start to look less appealing than bonds. And she did this several back-tested framework and looked at the research, and she found that 5% is the level of the 10-year Treasury bond yield at which Wall Street's average allocations to stocks peaks and is their expected return of the S&P 500 over the next decade. So I get why, if you look at the post, why the bar charts would fall, i.e. lower stock allocation after the 5% level. But it's interesting to see how the stock allocation is lower when the rates are between 1% to 4.5%. And it's also interesting to see how there was an uptick in stock allocation once the 10-year bond yield reached 10%. So my guess is that at several points between the study, 1985 to 2018, despite lower risk-free rates, investors were simply too afraid to invest aggressively in the stock market because there was some type of financial catastrophe going on. Much like right now, actually. I mean, wouldn't you rather have a positive 1.5% return than losing 3% in 1 day? Some of you guys might say no, but I think some of you guys might be like, oh, I would rather not lose money and just sleep well at night. So I'm thinking about when is the right time to switch to more bonds versus equities. In other words, when will the ratio be more than 50% in bonds? Well, let's go through this a little bit. So in general, it's okay to invest in stocks in a rising interest rate environment. A rising interest rate environment means there is inflationary pressure due to a tight labor market and strong corporate profits. Given corporate profits are the foundation for stock performance and valuations, a rising interest rate environment is an epiphenomenon, as you would say, as doctors would say, epiphenomenon. But at some point, the rate is going to be a little too high and it's going to slow down growth and investments and so forth. So I've currently got about a 60-40 stock bond asset allocation in my house sale fund. It was up about 8% for the third quarter, but year-to-date third quarter that is. But at this rate, it's going to be flat to down given the demolition going on in the tech sector and the stock. The fund is really heavy in tech because my house was a proxy for tech. So anyway, I've got a 60-40 stock bond allocation with the 10-year bond yield at 3.25%. 60-40 is interestingly slightly more aggressive than the Bank of America Merrill Lynch chart would dictate at similar rates. They have it more around 57.33. At a 3.5% 10-year bond yield or 25 basis points higher than here, I would go 50-50. At 4%, I would go 40-60, so 40% stocks, 60% bonds. At 4.5%, I would go 30% stocks, 70% fixed income. And at 5%, I would go 20-80. And I'm stopping at 5% because I don't think there's any way in hell we're going to get to 5% or higher. Again, in my humble opinion, America's too smart and too efficient to allow inflation to go crazy. And we know based on research and history, a 50-50 weighting has provided a healthy 8.3% compounded annual return. That's great, folks. But remember, you're not me. This is just my own preference. I'm much more conservative than the average 41-year-old because both my wife and I are unemployed in expensive San Francisco with a son to take care of. So we have to be more conservative than normal. If I had a job with really steady cash flow, I'll take some more risks. But I don't. Every day, I am relying on my after-tax investments, which are now going down thanks to this correction. And I'm also looking at online income that I generate, which is not guaranteed at all. At a 4% 10-year bond yield, we're now at the popularly espoused withdrawal rate, where you will maximize your take and minimize your risk of running out of money in retirement. If you can earn 4% risk-free, that means you can withdraw 4% a year and never touch principal, folks. Therefore, I think a 40% equities and 60% fixed income portfolio that has returned a historical 7.8% compound annual return since 1926 sounds quite reasonable, don't you think? So if you click over to the post, you'll see this chart that I created. It's called the Suggested Stock Allocation by Bond Yield. Based on historical Wall Street stock allocation data and the current economic environment we're in, this guide will help serve you based on logic. It's kind of like a gut check to see where you guys are at. The goal is always to balance risk and reward in what I believe will be a permanently low interest rate environment. So the investor who tends to blow themselves up generally has too much risk based on their risk profile. So for example, let's say you're 50 or 55 years old and you've got 100% allocation in stocks and you plan to retire in a couple of years because you're just sick of it, and then the market goes down 20%. Well, you're screwed and you're probably going to have to work several more years if most of your net worth is in the stock market. So in this chart, I'm a little bit more aggressive because, remember, I'm more conservative than normal. At 3.25%, which is where the 10-year bond yield is at right now, October 10th, 2018, I've got a recommendation of 60% stocks, 40% bonds. At 4%, that's where I equalize at 50-50. Because again, 4%, it's a pretty safe withdrawal rate. Why not have half your portfolio in the bond market and then the other half, you know, a little bit more risky, try to get a better return? Again, we're talking like 8.3% compounded annual return since 1926. So maybe most probably that rate of return is going to be lower. But still, folks, you got to think logically about how much money you want to risk above the risk-free rate of return. So the 10-year bond yield is the risk-free rate of return. You're guaranteed to get that money if you hold that 10-year bond to maturity. I think obviously a lot of people want greater than a risk-free rate of return, but just know that depending on where you are in your financial situation, if you've won the game, for example, if you have retired, whatever you are comfortable retiring with, you need to protect those assets at all costs. So it doesn't really make sense to take excess risk with your money. So I believe the market will agree with me about going to a 50-50 split if the 10-year bond yield hits 4% and not with Bank of America Merrill Lynch's view at 5%. In other words, there will be a large rotation into bonds and out of stocks, and stocks will get hit 10 to probably 20% if the 10-year bond yield gets that much higher. I assign a 40% chance of the 10-year bond yield reaching 3.5% within the next 12 months. And a 25% chance the 10-year bond yield will hit 4%. Remember, everything is yin-yang, folks. So the higher the bond yield goes, I think more people are just going to shift more and more towards bonds. And there's going to be a point where the Federal Reserve and the bond market will say, hey, you know what? We're just crushing stocks. And now, hey, maybe stocks are looking a little bit more interesting now since they've corrected 5, 10, 20%. And then that shift back will go into the stock market. If the 10-year bond yield does hit 3.5%, you know, 40% chance in the next 12 months, I expect up to a 10% sell-off in stocks. The more likely scenario I see is that the 10-year bond yield stays at around 3.25% or less, and the yield curve resumes its flattening. Right now, it's steepening, right, because the short end, well, the 10-year bond yield is going up, and that's generally a longer-term bullish sign. But I really believe that the 10-year bond yield is going to be capped at around 3.25%, you know, over the next 12 months. And when the yield curve flattens and actually goes flat, if it goes flat or inverts, then we've got a recession coming within 18 months. I'm confident that the vast majority of you have seen your net worths double or more since the financial crisis. As a result, the return on your larger net worth no longer needs to be as great to return the same amount of income or principal appreciation, right? I was aiming for a 4-5% rate of return on my after-tax investment portfolios when I left my day job in 2012. With a much larger net worth today, I think it's more than triple due to some fortuitous investments, right? And some hustle, right? Because I'm doing Financial Samurai. All I need is about a 1% annual return to match the absolute dollar amount I desired in 2012. Therefore, there's no reason for me to take excess risk. And I've been trying not to take excess risk. But at the same time, I'm trying to pick my opportunities to take advantage of massive sell-offs like we're experiencing right now. It's definitely a balance between greed and fear all the time if you are actively managing and running your portfolio. And depending on where you are in your financial stage, you can afford to take more risk. But my guide, I think, is a good one that gives you some kind of, you know, just idea of how you should be positioned based on logic. All of you guys should go through the exercise of figuring out your asset allocation at different 10-year bond yield levels. And I do recommend you run your investments through an investment checkup tool to see what your asset allocation looks like compared to your asset allocation you actually want. I mean, over time, if you don't check for like 6 months, 12 months, your desired asset allocation could be quite different from reality. So in retrospect, I'm glad I sold my San Francisco rental property in 2017. I know I keep on thinking about this and discussing this, but this is a dilemma of choice where now I can compare my results to what would have happened if I just kept the property. And the results were pretty good up until this recent route, and now I'm probably flattened down a little bit, and hopefully things stabilize and then recover into a Santa Claus rally into the year end, but who really knows? I'm personally buying on the dip, but I'm also prepared for a lot of pain over the short run. Remember, during a downturn, you don't want to be leveraged. You don't want to have a high asset allocation to risk investments either, but you certainly don't want to be leveraged. So for those of you still thinking about buying expensive coastal city real estate, I would bargain very, very, very hard and really commit yourself to living in the property for at least 10 years, because it just doesn't seem really good right now, folks. Really, we've done tremendously, tremendously well since the financial crisis. There really is no reason to take excess risk at the moment. Thanks so much, everyone. I'd love to hear your thoughts on your asset allocation based on bond yields or how you're planning to invest in the near future.